welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Henry. As always, we are excited to bring you the best of the best in college softball. After the show, head on over to d1softball.com for all the latest news, scores, stories, and more. If you subscribe today, you can use Podcast 20, that's PODCAST20, for 20% off an annual subscription. We're excited for today's new episode that features Wichita State's Addison Barner. And now a message from our sponsors. Bat Club USA is a subscription service for premium baseball and softball equipment. In 2016, co-founders Eric and Oscar realized there's a huge performance gap between top-tier bats and the ones most people can actually afford. So they started Bat Club. Since then, parents have been able to give their kids the best bats in the game at an affordable monthly payment. Learn how you can give your little slugger access to the best bat for their swing starting at $20 per month by visiting Bat Club USA. Now let's get started. I'm joined by my co-host, Rhiannon Potke. Re, how are you doing this week?
Doing okay. Not as chipper as, you know, I'd like to be. We had some sad news in softball. Announced on Tuesday of the death of JMU sophomore catcher Lauren Burnett. No cause of death was given, and we want to respect the family's wishes and whatever they decide with that, but it's just a very sad day in the softball world. Our condolences to her family, her friends, her teammates, and everyone who knew and loved her. There's been a lot of tributes on social media, you know, from her teammates and friends, and just a really sad day. And really no words and no easy transition for us to talk about softball on this podcast, but we're definitely going to try. But we just want everyone to know that our thoughts and prayers are with everyone associated with that program and everyone associated with Lauren Burnett.
Yeah, it's been, I think, a tough week for all of us, not just the softball community, everybody that knew and loved Lauren. And Rhi, you and I got to actually watch her in the College World Series, and we'll always remember that run with JMU. So our thoughts and prayers are with all who knew and loved Lauren. So let's get into a recap of the weekend. We'll start out in the SEC. We had a big upset. The Aggies upsetting the Alabama Crimson Tide. What a series. I mean, I was glued to the television for that one. Rhi, what do you got on the Alabama Crimson Tide?
Yeah, definitely. I was as well. The A&M won the series over Alabama, won the first two games, and then Alabama avoided the sweep with fouls in the circle in the third game. But man, one of them was a run rule too. That was, you know, the eye-opening nature of it. And it's kind of one of those things that Aggies had been really close to putting it all together a few times. You kind of saw it, whether it be one week their offense was great, the next week their pitching was great, but kind of just putting it all together in one game. And they did it in two, and they did it in front of some great crowds there at Davis Diamond, and really, really eye-opening. We've seen Alabama kind of, you know, it's been kind of up and down a little bit on the road, especially in SEC play. Their bats have struggled a lot this year. I mean, they've had some clutch hits, big hits, but their offense is kind of down across the board, and I think that kind of came back to haunt them last week. Some of the shades of it in the midweek showed, but definitely A&M, man. That's a great confidence-boosting win for them. And one I think they've been kind of thinking would come, and they're healthy and they're back and they're hoping that that can sustain and maybe make a little run here down the stretch.
Yeah, so that's the SEC. And you spoke a little bit about Alabama's offense, but I think the pitching as well. I think everybody's ERA in the SEC, I mean, Rhi, you'd know better than anything. I don't think anybody's getting under two in the SEC. Maybe Shanice Dels. I mean, I don't know, but I think pitching is taking a hit in the SEC. You've got big bats throughout that conference.
Yeah, we saw the series with Mizzou, the other surprising one, Missouri sweeping Kentucky at Kentucky. Their bats came to play. I think that was the Missouri team everyone expected entering the season. They kind of put it all together there, and that definitely, their home runs flying out of the park there. The Lucky Charms being eaten for breakfast, whatever it is. But Missouri was definitely on a tear. So that was another one where the Kentucky staff ERA took a significant hit. Not that it was the lowest of low in the conference, but certainly not as bad as they made it look this weekend. So Missouri's power bats came to play.
Yeah, I mean, Kim Wirt hit that grand, or one of the grand slams over the scoreboard. I mean, the Mizzou bats all of a sudden just were out of control. So like you said, Rhea, I'd be pretty hesitant having Mizzou in a regional if I drew the Missouri Tigers in a regional. I think they're starting to play a little bit better. And like you said, what we expected. So that's the SEC. Then we'll go to the Big 12, Oklahoma State and Texas. That was a series to remember with Miranda Ellis in the circle. Heck of a performance. Sad to see her kind of pulled out there on two outs in the seventh inning with some shoulder, or I'm not quite sure, you know, what she was kind of, you know, moving her arm around. But what do you got on Oklahoma State and Texas?
Yeah, that was a much anticipated series. Obviously, Oklahoma State coming away with the series win. I know, like you said, the Ellis injury coming out of it kind of dampened it a little bit. As of today, when we're taping this, there was still no word. They'd had an MRI, but there was still no word officially. It was a great series. I mean, it was, you know, the pitching as expected was going to be fun with Dulcini and Maxwell and Ellis. And, you know, it's a series that Oklahoma State definitely needed. They play at FSU in two games this weekend, and then they close with Oklahoma in Bedlam. So they're definitely on a roll right now. They're getting some key, you know, their offense was a little like sluggish a little bit there for a while, but I think it's reinvigorated. And Julia Cottrell kind of caught fire again this weekend and helped her team win. She had been kind of in a little mini slump. So I think that's going to be huge for them down the stretch if Cottrell's back can get going again. And it did in that series against Texas.
So that's the Big 12. And then we'll head on over to the Pac-12. Stanford did it again. They broke another win streak. You know, they've been in and out of the rankings, the Cardinal, and end up beating Arizona State, snapping Arizona's win streak. They had previously snapped UCLA's win streak just a few weeks prior, and now they're back in our rankings. And they're finding ways to win. I mean, they've got the pitching. They don't have the most prolific numbers from an offensive standpoint, but Stanford, keep an eye on Stanford. What do you got, Rhea, in the pack? Anything else that you noticed?
No, that was the biggest eye-opener in the pack. I mean, I think all the other stuff we kind of expected, you know, there were some interesting games and interesting moments, but kind of played to what we kind of thought going into, you know, down the stretch is going to be interesting. I mean, UCLA obviously is, you know, still the one to beat. You know, Arizona, I don't know. I mean, they, you know, one week into the next, it seems like they're kind of getting their, you know, getting a little bit more of an identity lately. So that's good. You know, Oregon's still hurting by not having Brooke Yanez in the circle there. So I don't know how much they're going, but Washington, you know, their bats are coming. Gabby playing her 1,000th strikeout. That was a huge milestone. So I think that's, you know, it's interesting. Some teams are kind of really starting to gel down the stretch in the pack and starting to find their form. ASU obviously took a little bit of a step back, but, you know, I don't expect that to be too much of a hindrance. Their bats are pretty powerful. I think they're bounced back. But yeah, it's been a really interesting year in the Pac-12. Like it's a toss up. I can't make some, like, I'm just like every week, I'm like, what the heck? I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah. And to close out the pack, UCLA will host Utah, and then the Sun Devils, they're going to have to travel up to Seattle and play UW. And then UCLA and ASU, who we're going to assume are going to be the top of the standings in the pack, they'll play each other again. Those two could be battling it out for that top spot, but Stanford handing ASU those losses will make it a little bit easier for UCLA. So that's the pack. Then we're going to head to the ACC, which we'd argue is just right up there, I think, with SEC in terms of strength of schedule, in terms of RPI. Ree, what do you got on the ACC?
Yeah, definitely the top of the ACC. I think it goes, you know, as you get lower, the SEC is much deeper, but up at the top, man. FSU beating Clemson, sweeping them in a three-game series. That was part of that Thursday throwdown. Those first two games were wild, very entertaining, walk-offs, home runs, everything, you know. It was a really entertaining series. FSU staff gave up a lot of home runs, but they kept it to solo home runs, so the damage was mitigated a bit. And then they kind of came on the last game and pitched a shutout. But that was the key series in that conference last week. FSU still don't think they're going to catch Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech needs to win their series over BC this weekend. It pretty much clinched the regular season title. They will clinch the regular season title. That is really, really heavily favored in the Hokies Hokies way. So they should be able to clinch this weekend. Then in 2 weeks, FSU and some of the other teams finish up. So it's kind of these next 2 weekends are staggered with ACC. But that was it was kind of cool to see Keeley Richard get taken out in the seventh inning to kind of get a standing ovation. The only other thing that really jumped out was, Duke losing one game. It was, after that midweek loss to Liberty, kind of halted their momentum there. Didn't expect Syracuse to shut out that Duke offense by any means, but credit to that Cuse staff. So Duke's really got to be kind of trying to get back on it. This is kind of their stretch run. They got to kind of get that mojo back. Their strength of schedule wasn't super great during that win streak. So I think they need to kind of get some reps against some better teams as we get near the postseason here. And hopefully they'll get to do that in these next 2 weekends.
So that's the ACC. And you're right, Rhea. I think that clip of Keeley Richard, Pete DeMar taking her out to get the standing ovation is something that was so special. And I think one of those moments that you got to tip your cap to one of the greatest pitchers to ever come out of Virginia Tech. So that was great to see. And we're going to head on over to the Big Ten. The Big Ten title is actually still up for grabs. I think, we got a lot of chirping about Nebraska, and then they're ranked, and all of a sudden Wisconsin snaps their 18-game win streak. And so now Northwestern is sitting at the top of the Big Ten standings after Wisconsin took the series from Nebraska. They went 2-1, and Northwestern swept Indiana. And the thing is Northwestern and Nebraska will not face each other this year in the regular season. Yeah. So it's such a shame. And if they're going to face each other, it's going to be in the Big Ten tournament.
Well, let's hope. I hope that happens. That's the cool thing about these tournaments, is that if you miss someone in the rotation, hopefully you meet them in the tournament. Because these uneven, unbalanced, it's just how it's a product of the schedule. But yeah, that's wild, Big Ten.
It's been wild. So Northwestern closes with Iowa and Minnesota, and then Nebraska is Ohio State and Indiana. So both of those are going to be a challenge for both squads. So we'll keep an eye on there. And then Michigan, they ended up taking that series from Ohio State, nearly almost, falling to Ohio State, but they came out with two wins at home against Ohio State. That was a great series as well. So that's it for the week. Anything else, Rhea, that you noticed around the nation?
Not particularly. Sorry, my voice, everyone. I was traveling. I've got travel voice, so that's what I call that, because it's horrible. I appreciate you sloughing through, thinking that I'm, nothing staying out late at night. It's just literally travel voice.
Yeah, Rhea's out partying. I love it.
Oh yeah, if you know me, that's right up my. That's totally my brand. I'm excited for some good, like, our guests this week. They have ECU, but then they end with UCF, so Wichita State UCF. That's in 2 weeks, and I'm already starting to get excited about that one. Like, that I know it's a week early, but and there's, like I said, the good non-conference one. I love to see teams like Florida State, Oklahoma State playing a non-conference series this late that features those two quality of teams. There's just some really good ball being played around the country, and it's hard to keep up with everything, but it's really fun. And I think if you check out Around the Nation that Graham Hayes posted today, he'll give you an idea of kind of some of the other games going on. Just a really good schedule coming up and some of the stuff that's happened. A lot of surprises out there and a lot of just like under the radar things going on. But it's just, it's keeping up with it every week is a full-time job, as we know.
Well, that's it for our weekend review. And Rhea, I will let you introduce our guest of the week.
Yeah, as we said at the top, we had joined by someone that's kind of flying a little bit, apparently under the radar of the top 25 top USA player of the year, Wichita State sophomore Addison Barnard, who is leading the NCAA in home runs and RBIs. and is breaking her own records left and right. She had a sensational freshman season and is continuing that. So we had her on to talk about, you know, her hitting, some of her backstory, her farming life, and everything in between. So a really, really enjoyable conversation. And I think everyone's going to learn a lot about her and really realize kind of some of the methods to her madness at the plate, which is pretty cool stuff.
Here's Wichita State's Addison Barnard.
We are now joined on the D1 Softball Podcast by Wichita State sophomore Addison Barnard. Barnard is batting .414 with an NCAA leading 26 home runs and NCAA leading 67 RBIs. Over the weekend, she broke her own program single season record for home runs and RBIs and tied the program single season record for stolen bases with 25. She needs only 4 more home runs and 5 more steals to become the first player in NCAA history to be 30-30 in those categories. Wow, that's a really, really great season already. Welcome to the podcast, Addison. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I really appreciate it. This has been one we've wanted for a long time. We continue to, I think, write about you a lot on our D1 softball site for good reason. Just the stats you're posting this season are really impressive, especially for a sophomore. I'd love to kind of get some insight into your approach at the plate and kind of maybe the work you do ahead of time to prepare for games, because I'm sure you're game planned against. So what's kind of the strategy when you're there and kind of the stuff you do ahead of time to prepare?
So this year I've really focused on just trying to be able to hit every pitch well. And so when I see a better pitch, it looks really good just because I'm not a freshman anymore and people have scouted me and they know what I can hit and all that kind of stuff. So just working on those pitches that are difficult for me and trying to be able to hit every pitch. And then just going into those games, going through my at-bats, my big word is focused, you know, focusing every pitch and really seeing the ball out of the hand and just really focusing through, staying, see where the pitch is pitched. And yeah.
Have you noticed, obviously, the numbers you're putting up, you know, like we joked at the beginning of the season, Jocelyn Allo treatment, Barry Bonds treatment, the, you know, avoiding you or giving you bad pitches or just intentionally walking you. Have you noticed any treatment? Because obviously you've been still getting pitches to hit, but has there been any change in how pitchers approach you or teams approach you?
Right. This past weekend, it wasn't really that big of change. I mean, I still got some good pitches. I mean, towards the end of the series, I didn't get as many good pitches that I would like. So towards the end of that series, it kind of changed, but I haven't noticed like a big difference at all.
I guess it's partly a credit to your teammates and around you, the lineup too, that they're, you know, they don't want to just pitch around you all the time.
Right.
Now we, you know, it was a bit eye-opening and we wrote about that to see you left off the USA Softball Player of the Year top 25 list. And I'm sure you heard a lot about it from others, but how did you feel when you saw that? Was there any reaction from you or, and maybe how did you learn about that too?
You know, when it came out, I mean, my first reaction was as, holy crap, my teammate Sid McKinney made it. Like, that's such a big thing and that's so awesome. And like when looking at it, I never really thought, dang, like I'm not on there. Like I was just like, I mean, it'd be really awesome to be on there, but that's okay. I'm a sophomore, so I have a lot of time.
That's a great reaction. That's awesome. Yeah, but you know, secretly you should be on there, both of you should be on there. But but that's great that you were more supportive of your teammate. That probably shows you why you should even be on there a bit more than that. Now give us an idea, because you know, I'm sure people learned about you a little bit last year when you burst on the scene as a freshman in that great campaign, but how did you begin playing softball? Where did you get your start? Kind of how did the sport get introduced to you?
So I lived in a really small town and my mom played softball, and so she just kind of brought me into it. And so I was from a really small town, kind of played like a little class C ball and that kind of stuff. And then I moved to a little bigger town called Beatrice, Nebraska, and that's where I started playing more club ball. And then I played with my friends for so many years, and then there was this big organization called Nebraska Gold, and so my mom's like, I think this would be a great opportunity for you to get more looks and look into the collegiate level. So then I went and played for Nebraska Gold, and that's how I ended up at Wichita State.
And what drew you to Wichita State? How did you kind of get on their radar, and what did you like about the program that made you want to go there?
Yeah, so I came down here. I really didn't know much about the place, and I came down here with a couple of friends just to a three-day camp. And I just liked it because it was just the right amount away from home, that's not too far but not too close. And also where it still felt like home. You know, I'm from the country, and my family raised cows, so it still felt like home. And the campus was very open, but a lot of people knew. It's still like a small world feel. And I love the coaches, and they were just very personal about me. And after the camp, they kept in touch with me, and I love that loyalty. So that's what kind of drew me in.
Tell us more about that family background. I mean, small town and raising cows. I mean, typical Nebraska sounding background there, but give us more insight into how you were raised and grew up.
Yeah. So, I mean, my grandparents, both sides, are farmers and raise cattle. And so my dad kind of took that in, and he has his own farm too. So, you know, I've always just been out on the farm, and actually I've been a part of 4-H and that kind of stuff. So I showed cows actually. So that was a big thing, like, because it was a weekend in July where it was the Gage County Fair, and that's where I showed my cattle. So I always had to miss nationals for softball. So yeah, I think that's kind of interesting because I always chose to show my cows over going to nationals for softball. So yeah.
Wow. And you still got recruited in season. It still can still be done, folks. You don't have to. And why did you decide to do that? Because that's a hard decision, especially at that age, that, you know, that time of your life. That's a big decision. What prompted you to decide that?
Well, I think like the rest of the summer, I was always playing softball, and that kind of spent most of my time at softball. So I just like, it was very important to my dad, and it meant a lot to him. And I loved being around my family and spending that whole week with them. So that's just, yeah, that's what was like, okay, I need to take this weekend, spend it with my family and enjoy it. And one weekend of softball, it's not going to hurt.
How much are you still involved in kind of the family? I mean, with college, it's you're away and it's harder with softball and stuff, but how much do you try to still stay involved with the family and the cattle and all the farming that goes on?
Right. I still try to stay so involved. Like, I know I'm away a lot, but every chance I get, I go home and try to visit my parents and, you know, go out to the farm and see, check on those cows and see that kind of stuff. But yeah, every chance I get, I go home and try to spend that time with my family, just because they have given so much to me. I want to give back to them.
And kind of on that topic, what are your aspirations beyond softball? Once your softball career is over, hopefully it's long and as long as you want it, and maybe professionally, you know, fingers crossed that we have a lot more opportunities once you graduate. What are your aspirations beyond softball?
So right now I'm majoring in health science / pre-med. So my plan is to go to medical school sometime, because my mom, she's actually a midwife, so she delivers babies. So I've been kind of around that my whole life, and that's just something I had an interest in. So that's my plan, to go to medical school. I'm not sure exactly what I want to do, but yeah, something in the medical field. And yeah.
That is very ambitious. That's awesome, Addison. Look at you. You're doing it on and off the field. That is great. Give us some more insight into this team. I mean, we learned a lot kind of about Wichita State more last year, I think, you know, when we were, you know, with all the home runs and some of the great performances you guys had, and we've kind of still followed you guys this year. But what makes this program tick? What do you think is key for this team these last few years?
So this year, we faced a lot of adversity, a lot of injury, and right now our numbers are very low. So we're very close-knit. And I think it's just every person that comes to this team is so athletic, and we just have great leaders. Our seniors this year, they just want to be there and they want to succeed so bad, which just, you know, shows they're great role models for us younger kids. And we're very close. So I think we have very close connections outside of softball and inside of softball. So I feel like that helps us on the field a lot.
Yeah, that's it's, you guys have, you know, overcome a lot of things, and you're right in the hunt there for the conference race, which has come down these last two weekends. How excited is the team for that? I know you ECU this weekend, and then you get a big showdown with UCF. No overlooking anything, so you got to get there first. But how exciting has it been to kind of consider these next few weeks, and what is the team feeling heading into this final stretch?
Right. Coach expressed to us that these next two weekends are huge, especially in conference and, you know, RPI and that kind of stuff. And these past few weekends, we've kind of found our groove and everything's working together. Our pitchers are doing great. Our offense is producing. So we're just taking one game at a time, and we know all these games are very important. So doing what we can to win every inning.
Are there any, we'll kind of end on some fun stuff as we always like to do on this podcast, because we're, you know, that's what we're known for here. Any pregame rituals for you or for the team that are kind of quirky or fun, or things that you do that kind of gets you guys loose to get ready for a game, or you personally get ready for a game?
Not really. I mean, really weird fact about me is I got an iPad and I'm kind of obsessed with it. So I'm always playing games on that. So before a game, I kind of like to play this game called Heyday. And it's just like, it's kind of an outlet for me. I don't know, just to loosen, make me not so anxious. And I think a lot of us just chill out in the locker room before the game and just have fun.
That's great, man. We'll have to, I'll have to check that out. I've never heard that game, but, you know, I'm not one to be like up on all that stuff, sadly.
It's a farming game. Imagine that.
That's what I'm thinking. The Heyday, I'm like, that could be farming. So maybe I got to, it's almost like farm. Like there's all those, I know that you can build those farm worlds. There's a few games like that back in the day. Last question. Since you obviously are having so much success at the plate, walk-up song, what is it, and why did you pick that for you at home games?
My walk-up song is God's Gonna Cut You Down by Johnny Cash. And I don't know, I was just searching for songs, and I kept searching. It took me like so many hours to find one because I didn't want to use my ones from last year. And I don't know, I wanted kind of a country song. So I found this song and it just clicked and I was like, that's the one. It just stood out to me. So yeah.
Old school country with the man in black there, Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. I kind of love I love how each person kind of goes about their walk-up song and choosing it. It's really interesting.
I know.
Well, this has been amazing. We know you have tons to do as a pre-med student. We're probably keeping you from studies right now. And I know you guys are getting ready for your road trip and got an early morning takeoff coming up soon too to get there. So we really appreciate you making some time in your schedule. And we're hoping to have you back on the D1 Softball Podcast this season and many seasons to come, because you're only a sophomore. So thank you so much for joining us, Addison, and good luck the rest of the way.
Yes, thank you so much.
Addison Barnard, Wichita State. Pleasure to have her on. She's doing something that she could possibly do 30 player, something that nobody's ever done in college softball. And the fact that she's not on that top 25 USA Player of the Year list is beyond me, Ree.
Yeah, but I really loved her answer, because she was like, she said when she saw it, she thought, holy crap, my teammate, you know, Sid's on it. That's the best. And she didn't even think about herself. She thought, hey, I'm a sophomore, I'll have my chances. So that response really told me everything I need to know about Addison and kind of the team player she is, that she was more happy about her teammate, really didn't, you know, hey, I got chances down the line. So that was really cool to hear. And just her backstory with, you know, being from a farming family, raising cows. You know how this podcast always loves.
We have cows all the time.
We love farm girls that raise cows on here, apparently. Like, honestly, I don't even know these until we have them on, but apparently that's the type that and which is great. I love it. You know, these stories are awesome. So it was really fun. And just the fact that she wants to go to medical school is pretty cool too. She's balancing all that. So.
All right. Well, let's get a quick preview into the weekend. Let's see what games we are watching this weekend. In the Big Ten, I got my eye on Nebraska, Ohio State. Like I said earlier, I think that's going to be a pivotal series for the Huskers, and Michigan, Minnesota. So another two to watch in the Big Ten. Ree, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm watching in the SEC, Georgia-Auburn is a good one. I mean, there's not, you know, Auburn's kind of, you know, I feel we have to, Shelby Lowe's been injured from the start. She's struggling a little bit. hopefully she can kind of find that form, because Maddie Penta has been kind of carrying it. So against those Georgia bats, they're going to need her. KK DeSmukes was definitely gave some good innings this weekend, but they're going to need a healthy Shelby Lowe to make a run. But they seem to be kind of getting back on track. They had a little bit of a lull. And Georgia's offense, they lost the series to LSU, but that offense kept going. It's that pitching staff. They need to figure out how to limit runs outside of Madison Kerpix. Then the other one on there, I got my eye on, is Florida LSU in the SEC. Both teams, you know, really desperate, need to try to climb back up the standings. LSU is coming off a series win. Florida got swept by Arkansas, who is, you know, obviously in position to capture that, to recapture that title, defend it, as you would say. So that's going to be a good one too, because I'd like to see, you know, Florida needs to get, they need to get back on track, and they need, their offense really couldn't get going against, you know, the Hogs, although Shanice Dells, as we talked about, had a lot to do with that. So interested to see that series, and Taylor Pleasant swinging a lot better for LSU, which has been a huge lift to that offense. So that's the two series in the SEC that I'm really keeping my eye on.
Yeah, and then the Pac, Washington, Stanford goes up to play Washington. So Washington's on a 7-game win streak. That'll be interesting to see if Stanford can actually maybe break another win streak up there. But I got my eye on Washington, Stanford in the Pac. Again, that'll have some implications there as well. And then UCLA will play Utah. They're back at home. So UCLA will play Utah. We'll see if the Utes can kind of give the Bruins a run for their money here in the Pac. And last but not least, Arizona State and Cal. So that will be what Arizona State team's going to show up. What Cal team's going to show up.
Exactly. That's the key, man.
So we've got plenty of games to watch. Anything, final thoughts for the weekly?
No, not really. I mean, there's just, like we were saying, there's games everywhere. You got the Florida State, Oklahoma State, and the ACC, Georgia Tech, Clemson's an interesting one too. That's a really sneaky good series, I think. So just, you know, make sure we have a weekend primer that'll go up. So if you want to know what to watch, click on that and find out, because we'll have all the games featured that you need to be seeing. And then there'll always be some that we never expect you need to be seeing. All of a sudden we look and we're like, we need to start watching this one in the middle of the weekend. So and it starts on Thursdays now, folks. So it's kind of a long all weekend affair, which is fine with me. It's a lot of games to watch.
All right. Well, that's it for the D1 Softball podcast. Head on over to d1softball.com. Like, subscribe, let us know what you think. Send us an email at info@d1softball.com. Tara Henry for Rhiannon Podkey. We will see you next week.